Anxiety and excitement are two sides of the same coin. And that's a coin that I'm constantly trying to flip because there's lots of anxiety in building a business from the ground up and being a startup founder and needing investment from others.
Now, listener, on the podcast, not traditionally do we have an artist or a master level artist on the podcast who also is a master business person. So this episode, Julie DeBoyer is on the podcast. She is a recent winner of the Okanagan Angel Summit investment program. And again, full disclosure, this is not a buy or sell recommendation for anything, but I did participate in the Angel Summit as an angel. And this was the company that we as a group collectively awarded the money to. So I had her on the podcast to break down what their business is. And I have to say, I was thoroughly impressed throughout the process and also in this podcast at the dynamicness of Julie and her husband and what they've built. Now, this is talking about mentorship for artists. So if you have an artist looking to level up, they can hop on the website, again, called masterius.com, and get a mentor and pay a nominal fee. And the master can also add a few more people to the group. So the master gets paid. And now all of a sudden we have a viable business for growing artists, which again, I had some perceptions of what artist is, you know, artistry is. And, you know, it's a for the love of the game. It's not a real money maker. But I was shocked. And there is real money being made in the field of art. So I'm happy to share this episode with you. Julie, I'm excited to have you on the Picture Wealth today. Masterius is your company and it's all about mentorship. Can you first bring me up to speed? Is this your idea or where did this idea come from?
Yeah, that's a great question because there is a bit of a backstory there.
Love stories.
My husband and co-founder, Mike, he actually started a company called Leveling Up. And it was similar in that we had this mentorship group model, but it was in his industry. So that was for corporate leaders. I came in to help and I joined as a co-founder and CMO. And then COVID struck and killed the business entirely. All the while we're trying to build this thing, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this would work with my people. My people need this model. This would they totally would get it. So when COVID hit, I had to say something. So I said, okay, you know what? Let's take it to my industry. I think it'll take off. And sure enough, it did. We got traction immediately, like we never saw in corporate land. You know, people were buying it in the middle of the night and then emailing us the next day saying, I'm so excited. What did I buy? What have I just signed up for? So that product market fit that you hear about, we had not experienced, but we had been searching for it and we found it in my industry. So yes, it was kind of my idea, but originally it was Mike's, his vision.
Yeah, I talked about it earlier this morning and it's kind of on my brain because I just finished it, which is a book called Why Greatness Cannot Be Planned. Mm-hmm. And it was written in 2018 and it's kind of like about AI. It's just at the start. But what they actually had in there, it was an AI website and it was called Pick Breeder. And so what they would do is they were saying like if two people offered two photos and the photos bred, what would it come out with as offspring? So that's kind of a weird thing. But one of the pictures in there is this like very, and listener, Julie's got this amazing painting in the background that's very abstract. It looks like it's a lake setting, mountain sunset kind of thing, but it's stretched out. It's very beautiful. So this picture in the book is, it's a car. It's an abstract. You kind of look at it and you're like, oh, it's a car. It's got kind of two wheels and the body of it stretched out, but it's an abstract flow. But what happened was that was about 20 renditions of an alien's face that got squashed and smushed and the eyes became the wheels.
Okay.
And so again, it's why I bring that up is in your journey, there wasn't a vision of like, we have to create a mentor website for artists. You just had the fortitude and the space to kind of look at a situation. So was your husband receptive initially?
Oh yeah, he's totally. He's a visionary and he What I didn't know when I married him 28 years ago was that he doesn't see obstacles. He sees opportunities. He doesn't see mountains. He sees adventures.
Right.
And so we've had a very adventurous marriage, and building mastery is just one of many stories I can share. One thing that also it kind of came out of was my own experience. So I'm a professional artist, and I tried to build a career and reach my goals on my own for about 7 years. I was self-taught and going for it because the industry is super competitive. And I got burned pretty early on once I started trying to sell and build a career. It was a little bit nasty. And so I was just like, you know what, I can do this on my own. And for 7 years, I tried and failed and hit my DIY ceiling and got really frustrated. And finally, it dawned on me, if you've ever had that terrible moment when you realize, oh, I don't know what I don't know, that there are these massive gaps in my knowledge and skill that I've been unaware of. And it kind of came crashing down on me that I realized, oh, okay, I just don't know what I'm missing. So I finally left my studio and went and took a workshop from a master artist and spent all this money and time and in a room with 30 other artists. And I hated it because I was like a hermit, basically, you know, alone for 7 years. And I left that workshop with a mentor. The master artist saw potential in me, or he saw something in me, and he became my mentor. And within 3 years, I had built a six-figure career and was internationally collected and had reached all my goals. So it was just an incredible experience. So when we were building this mentorship platform for corporate leaders, that's why it really resonated with me. It's like, okay, if we just take, you know, the corporate, the executive coach out, put in a master artist, fill the group with artists who are looking for the same sort of support, like this thing will just take off. And it did. It's pretty exciting.
Did you ever have a moment where you were scared when you hit your goals as an artist, where you sort of set that goal and all of a sudden you were there and you were going, now what?
Yes, for sure. This has happened a few times in my life where I reached my goals sooner than I expected. And then I'm left wondering, what am I supposed to do with the rest of my life? Because I get bored easy. I wasn't planning on being an entrepreneur. I know I'm competitive and a high achiever, but maybe I didn't set enough goals for myself. But yeah, I get bored easily. So yeah, I hit my goals. And then I got pigeonholed and kind of stuck and bored, which is another part of the story. When we launched Masterious, I got a mentor because I had my original mentor, but now we have 300 master artists on the platform. So I'm stuck and bored and I've reached all my goals. So I created a new tier of mentorship for artists like myself who are at that professional level and who have reached their goals and are now spinning their wheels. I've been getting unstuck thanks to continued mentorship, which has been phenomenal. I've learned so much stuff I didn't know and so much yet to learn. It's really exciting.
Yeah, so you're still the student. Would you say the platform is more going towards professionals, or is it like, who is naturally gravitating towards the platform? Is it retirees looking to pick up a hobby, or is it people that are like, I don't want to work in a corporate office. I want to paint, or I want to do whatever, art.
Yeah, a little bit of all of those, but our biggest demographic would be women who are finishing either their first career or they've raised kids and the kids have launched and now they are trying to find themselves and they've always had this desire or this hobby as a creative, as an artist. And now they're at this point in their life where they're like, just get out of my way. I've got money to spend and I've got these goals. And now it's me time. It's time for me to pursue what I'm passionate about. And so there's this whole kind of starving artist myth, we call it, when you're on the inside of the industry. It's a myth. Artists are passionate spenders and they will spend a lot of money reaching their goals and pursuing, you know, what fuels them. And that's what we see in our demographic. It is expanding. Like, we're now 15% male and 85% female, and our demo is getting younger and younger as well. So things are opening up, but yeah, that's generally what we see.
And is the modalities evolving too, or is it mostly painting?
Yeah, we started in fine art painting just because that is my niche. And when you're building a business, it's good to start with a niche. And we've been expanding since. So we've gotten into sculpture and textile arts and some photography. Our intention and vision is literally to take over the world. There's so many creative industries that this model works beautifully in, and even beyond creative. I mean, we could go back to leadership one day. The small group mentorship model can work anywhere. But our goals now are to go far and wide within creative industries. Yeah, we haven't even tackled, you know, doing this in other languages yet. So there's lots of growth potential there too.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it definitely is. I want to say like, it's overdone mentorship and coaching. I'm not surprised that your husband's original vision didn't sort of take off, where this is, you know, what they would call blue ocean of, you know, nobody working. And the one thing you mentioned that is about female spending, I was eating breakfast this morning thinking about our business also, where we're predominantly blue collar business owner is the listener, is the client of Service Wealth. But we're finding more and more women in those families approaching us first and asking, hey, we need a plan. Can we get a plan? And paying for it and valuing it. I think it's more like one thing to write the check, but it feels great for both parties when you know it was valued. Like the time that you've put into this amazing website and setting up all the stuff you've set up. And people are excited, number one, to pay, and number two, they're actually getting better.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a high value offering. And what is unique is that the trend previously has been for kind of learning solo. You can go to YouTube, Coursera, Patreon, you name it. There's a platform where you can just kind of download information from someone and figure it out on your own, but the success rates are so low. And there's this new wave of people that are really done with it. They're searching for real connection, real relationships. They want the mess of it. They want the interaction. They want feedback in real time. They want access to the right people who can help them reach their goals. And that's kind of what we're on the cusp of, which is why we're doing well. And our customer retention is through the roof, is because people are finding friendship, camaraderie, you know, they're finding their cheerleaders. Mentorship is a very, you know, beautiful relationship. And it's an old model that we're breathing new life into by putting it online. You know, you can do it over Zoom and it works really well. You can still have a great connected relationship over Zoom. So we've just modernized the model, really.
Yeah. So on the topic of sort of not struggles, because lots of people talk about that, but I think of like art. And for me being an, I'm going to say non-artist, I have written books, but I really respect painting because it's, I don't know if I have that. So in painting, is there sort of an arc that someone goes on, or do they just kind of have it at the start or not?
Yeah. You know, people often say, oh, I'm not talented. I'm not an artist. But I think everyone has a creative element to them. So you're a writer. I think that's very creative. You're creating something out of nothing. It's just another way of a different medium, really. So yeah, as a typical artist, generally it starts not necessarily with a talent, but with a desire. So there's this kind of ingrained, wired in desire to create, and then the talent can develop. One thing that I've learned from my mentors, one in particular, he said he would rather work with a disciplined artist than a talented artist. When he chooses a mentee, and he was my original mentor and he chose me, he was less concerned about my capacity for talent, you know, what I was producing. It was about, you know, how hungry am I to build a career? How disciplined am I in actually practicing my art? And how teachable am I? And so that was really valuable to learn. I try to tell as many artists as I can in our community that don't, you know, talent can be developed. It's a matter of practicing, learning some great techniques, getting feedback often and support, and talent can grow. I also like to say the journey isn't this sort of mountain climb where we're all kind of clamoring over each other, trying to reach the pinnacle of mastery. And then we get there and we, you know, yay, I've arrived, I've reached it. It's BS. It never ends. It's a journey that is along a path. There are ups and downs. Some people are sprinting. Some people are meandering and enjoying the view. We can choose to walk or journey together. We can choose to go alone, but there is no arriving. Mastery is this ongoing pursuit. Like I said, I reached my goals early on and then I was like, oh shoot, now what? And then I realized, oh, I can just keep drinking from the fire hose. There is endless potential to what I can create, endless potential to my career. I get to be the, you know, driver in the seat here and decide what it's going to look like and how hard I'm going to pursue it. So yeah, that's what I like to teach in our community. It's that this is an ongoing journey and you can go as fast as you want. You can do it alone, but if you want to go far, do it together and it'll be so much more meaningful.
Yeah. The term we use is who, not how. So it's like, instead of figuring it out, it's like, who can you work with?
Yeah.
Big moment. I'm curious about the money, how art works. So not so much about masterious, but how like art. So I understand art. I understand rare things. I understand when there's scarcity. I understand when there's momentum or there's like a trend on somebody. But like, what does making six figures in selling a piece of created like art, how does that work? As it, because I know so many other artists that aren't there. And so maybe they want to be, maybe they don't. And I love your idea of like everyone's on a different path. But let's say someone is on the path to dough, like they want to make money. Like maybe give us a real base level of how making revenue and getting to a sustainable food on the table looks, what that looks like.
Yeah, sure. I'll do my best. So there's obviously there's a number of things that we need to consider. First, I'll start with that you're creating something that is fulfilling for you to create. So if you're just trying to make pretty stuff that people will spend money on to hang on their wall, that'll get you somewhere for sure, but it doesn't have longevity because you're going to burn out and you're going to end up not enjoying the process. So first and foremost is understanding what's in you to create and pursuing that wholeheartedly. And then it's about quality. So learning how to create it really well. So learning from a master, learning techniques, because it's not just laying down paint. There's incredible products and mediums and tools and techniques out there to really help you to do it well, to, you know, vibrancy of color and compositional design elements and all this. Like there's a science behind great art. It's not just a talent again. And then it's a matter of valuing your product. So many artists don't value what they're creating, right? Because it comes from a deep place. And so we're naturally going to be like, oh, you know, it's just not good enough and people are going to judge it. And I don't want to put it out there because it's coming from this deep space. I'm kind of scared. And there's this imposter syndrome runs rampant among creatives. And so getting over that, valuing what you're putting out into the world, valuing the time it takes to create it, the effort and money you spend on learning and your supplies and everything that we do to create good quality and beautiful and meaningful work, right? It's learning how to value that appropriately. And then the value changing with time. So then knowing where your niche is, where your market is, it's very location sensitive. So in Canada, prices are much lower than in the States for art. So you need to know your market, which takes a little bit of research, you know, looking at what other artists who are at your stage and creating similar work, how they're pricing, and you have to be, you know, pretty agnostic about it as far as not you know, valuing your work and having impartial eyes on your own work, which is tough, which is why it's really good to be in community. And then having a plan for what your business looks like long-term. Creating original art is the highest value, right? Because each piece is unique and there's only one of them. And then you need to decide as a creative if you want to diversify that. So at some point in my career, I wanted to work smarter, not harder. And so I started selling prints of my most popular small pieces. And prints are just this moneymaker, right? People can buy them off my website. It takes very little work from me. I just need to package it up and send it out. And there's other products you can get into. You can get into even using your art on fabric for fashion or on textiles for homeware and kitchenware, like for greeting cards, pillows on your couch. Like, there's art is used literally everywhere. So you just kind of need to open up your mind to the possibilities. And then again, I like, for me, finding someone who had done it, who could kind of walk me through the process, was very helpful, so that I'm not recreating the wheel and making all the same mistakes as I learned how to create new products and diversify my income. And then also there's the matter of, do you partner up with a gallery, right, who has access to great collectors and has a great location? And times have really changed for artists in that regard, because we used to rely on galleries to help make that connection with collectors. And now, thanks to social media and all the tools we have at our fingertips, we don't rely on galleries. And so artists are now making decisions if they want to still be a gallery represented artist and give away half of their income, or go solo and build it all on their own, or try to do a blend of the two. I've done both. Yeah, so lots of different ways to sell in the end, and a lot of decisions to make along the way is, how much control do you want to have over your income and your career? How much help do you think that you need? And being okay with asking for help. There's nothing, you know, wrong with needing a hand up or some help along the way. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, well, no, it does, because it, as you were talking, I thought of a close friend of mine a lot of years ago, was a very skilled musician. And I remember visiting with him saying, you know, this is probably like when we were like 18. And so lots of listeners know who this person is, but we were visiting and it was, you know, I said, well, like, what about these things like called like mashups, or like you go on like this thing called YouTube and you like kind of create like a cool song and then it gets caught on. And he was like, no, like I'm an artist. And so back then it was, you know, so I want to know if that's changed over time, where it was like, and so I was like, oh yeah, like there's a real sense of pride that you don't sell out to, you know, those other channels. You know, it was more like, no, I'm an artist. So is that still the case? Like, when you meet other artists, is where artists or whatever it is, you meet other artists and, you know, there's like this social pecking order where you're like, oh, are you one of those? Or yeah. That still exists?
Oh, totally. Totally.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I was accused early on of being a sellout, because my goal was to be a selling professional artist with an income I could live off of. That was my goal. I didn't even really consider an alternative to that, because actually my mom was an artist and she built a career, and that was kind of all that I was exposed to. So I thought that was kind of the way of an artist. But yeah, there are artists out there who will never sell their work, and they get funded and they apply for, you know, bursaries and different ways so that they can live. But that's the starving artist stereotype, right? Is that they are not able to make an income because it's just, they just won't sell it. For them, that is selling out. But there's this, you know, huge other end of the spectrum where artists are selling happily and creating authentically and putting their art into the world and into other people's homes and businesses. And neither is right or wrong. But yeah, there are different thoughts on that for sure.
Well, I guess maybe it's a hybrid person that's around now, where like I'm in the wealth space. So at the end of the day, there's you need to put food on your table and have, you know, there's like that whole thing. You could be this crazy good grassroots artist, but to make no money, well, then you starve and you're homeless. So
yeah,
that doesn't achieve. Whereas other people are starting with a bit of like, you know, saying no. And we have so much good access to, things like Masterious, where it's like you see other people, like it isn't only 0.2% of artists make money. It's like there are other people.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, very empowering for the community. You just went through a round of financing, or you were in a contest. At full disclosure, this is not a buy or sell recommendation for anything, but I was part of that process as one of the judges, and you guys went through the process and won. What was the most stressful part of that process?
Oh, yeah, that was a fun one. It was 8 weeks. It was fairly intensive. We've done these sorts of competitions before, and this was by far the most thorough and intense, but it was really good. So I don't say that in a negative way, because the investor syndicate that you're part of, thank you very much, was just really high quality people who had really great values alignment with us as founders. And so we really worked our buns off to win it. The most stressful part, I think, is the process of, we started with, I think, 38 companies. And so all 38 pitched first, and then they narrowed it down to 24, and then 12, and then six, or something like that. Maybe there, that was one extra in there. And then so all the while you're just always wondering and waiting, and did we make it? Did we make it? Oh, I hope we made it. And then, oh, we made it. That's great. And then the finale is the top six. And this, it's a huge event in Kelowna, British Columbia. And there are hundreds of people there, and we're pitching live on the stage, and it's very intense and fortunately exciting as well. And then we won, which blew my mind. I'm a pessimist through and through. So I was ready to congratulate the winner, and I knew how I was going to approach investors for side deals. And then we won. And yeah, anxiety and excitement are two sides of the same coin. And that's a coin that I'm constantly trying to flip, because there's lots of anxiety in building a business from the ground up and being a startup founder and needing investment from others. And so, yeah, this was really exciting. Winning it at the end was just such a feather in our cap.
Yeah. Well, good. It is, from our standpoint, you are seeing, you know, other businesses that don't have revenue, and you're seeing businesses that are just ideas. And then you have other ones that are more mature and further down the road. You're trying to kind of find that happy medium of one that's, you know, interesting. And so again, I really enjoyed the process also from this side. And again, I think the idea is so cool that, and mentorship is in general something that the world needs. What is one thing that you're most excited about or would love to share with listeners before we head off into our afternoon?
I think this is something that comes up a lot when we're explaining what Masterious is, and we're working with artists and creatives in the creative industries, and people always think that it's really niche and that, oh, that's them, like, oh, I'm not an artist, so this is for other people. And I always want to push back on that. Not just because I think everyone has a creative element in them and it goes maybe just unnoticed or whatever. But what I want to point out is that creatives are literally everywhere. You probably know at least 10, and you might not know that they're creatives because they're hiding. They're doing their creative hobby on the side. They're doing it in secret because they're insecure, but they're literally everywhere. You can't throw a stone without hitting an artist of some type somewhere. And just that their role in our world is so significant. And I know we talk about, oh yeah, they have an impact on our culture and on society, but they really do. But even if we shrink that down, like, you probably have artwork in your home. I can see two pieces behind you, right?
Sketches, yeah.
Whose house doesn't have art, whose office doesn't, right? The bus ride to work, there's art, there's murals, whether it's a great book or author that you love or a musician, it's literally everywhere. And it's woven into the fabric of everything we do, from when we wake up in the morning to our culture that we are part of on a grander scheme. So yeah, I think that's what I'd want to leave people with, is just how creatives are everywhere, and they are such an important part of our world and our lives, and giving them a platform to be lifted up and supported so that they can be successful and really shine is going to have such a huge impact for us as individuals, as families, and of course in the world as well.
In today's society, where most people are very busy and they got their own lives, What is an identification trait of a creative that if a listener comes across somebody and they see something that maybe they could ask a question, or they could just have a little less surface engagement and a little bit under the surface? Because as creatives, when someone goes there, it's very energizing and an engaging conversation, because you're talking, it's not the cars you drive and all the stuff. It's like, why did you create that? Or what was the inspiration there? Like, who, you know, my book people ask, like, well, who was that? And who, like, you know, there's characters and it's just more there. So what do you say to that?
Yeah. Like, how do you engage an artist?
Yeah. Well, how do you identify in the sea of people and in your day to day where you're looking to kind of engage someone on a bit more of a deeper level and you recognize something? Like, what are some traits of some closet creatives?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, heck, even seeing someone doodling during a meeting, like I can't even concentrate unless I'm doodling. And then it's seeing something and asking a great question, right? A good question goes a long way. Tell me about this. Or maybe you see, like, I'm curious now about the sketches behind you on the wall. I want to know, are those your sketches? Tell me about them. What inspired them, right? So it's not about saying, oh, that's neat or that's pretty or cool. It's ask a good question. You know, what fires you up? What do you do on the weekends that you wish you could do every day, right?
Yeah.
If we could pursue our creative talent like we pursue our careers, the world would be a very different place.
Yeah. Well, just even in that, so those are 1930s. Blueprint sketches of the new design of a Harley Davidson.
Oh,
so
cool.
those are yeah motor and then the frame and sort of different things. So it's, you know, that simple question, now all of a sudden you know something more and you can engage on a different, you know, you're like, oh, I, you know, my husband's into motorcycles, and so then you're like, it's just more. So thank you very much for that. That was awesome. Where can people find more information about what you're up to, or, you know, your most, you know, social media abuse site or use site?
Yeah, for sure. So we have a great website at masteries.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at masteries.official. On there, you will see lots of great reels from our master artists who are talking, teaching, and demoing and being awesome. Lots of great content there if you want to just enjoy being around creatives and feeling inspired. Yeah. And then our website, if anyone is interested, go check it out. There's a quiz you can take where we will help kind of match you up with a great mentor, which is a fun process actually to have that match made. But yeah, those are the main.
Awesome. Listener, Mastrius, it's Mastrius.com. So I hope, encourage you to check it out. And Julie, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.